And so, but today we are here because the pulpit is meant for the gospel. Okay? And so with that, I want to ask that all of us would please stand. And I do want to do something a little different this morning. You guys with me?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't normally do. Are you guys ready? All right. Put your Bibles down on your chair. We're going to do 10 squat. No, just kidding. We have been going through God's word and we've been talking about the beauty and the blessing of grace and how this church represents God's desire for the church, that we would not be the bodies, but one body. Though we're from different nationalities and different backgrounds and ages and everything else, out of unity, out of a show of love, I would want to request that this morning we would extend hands to one another and let us pray and come before the Lord. Father, as we stand before you today, I am in awe of your goodness and love. And I am thankful for, God, your grace and your mercy that has touched our lives, that has given us the opportunity to know you personally, to grow deeper in our understanding of who you are, and to know that today you desire to use us as the body of Christ to continue to preach the gospel and give people hope. And today we lift up not only our nation, we lift up our world to you. We know that the effect of all that is going on, the root of it is sin. We're living in a fallen and broken world. And we also know that your word tells us that in the latter times, that many will fall away even from the faith, that they will get caught up in all the things that are going on and miss the most important thing, and that is you, Jesus. So I pray that you would not only protect our hearts, but we together as the body of Christ here in St. George would answer the call to your word and battle this spiritually. That we would pray with one heart and one mind. That we would, as a show of unity and the demonstration of us holding hands, that we would remember we are family. You are our Father, and today we desire for you to speak into our lives. And so we ask, God, take control of this service. Pour out your spirit, give us understanding, and help us to walk out of here being encouraged. And once again, we ask for Israel, for our nation, for our leaders, for all the innocent, for all the things that are going on, please, Lord, intervene and bring peace. We also ask for our fellow native Utahans, Lord, that you would protect them. We pray for those who have lost a home, and I pray that God, however you would use us to be a minister, to be a blessing to our community, that you would lead us to do that. So God, we pray that you would stop the fires, that you would stop the madness that's going on within this world. And today we look to you because you are our true peace. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated now. And what I'd like to do is just do a little quick recap. Ephesians chapter 2. And one of the things that I want to remind us as we've been going through this letter is of the purpose Paul had intended in writing it. And so the heart of this letter is for saints not to be ignorant of their wealth in Jesus Christ. Paul's desire and prayer was that they would grow in their personal relationship with God and to grow deeper in their understanding and knowledge of God's grace. And so all throughout chapters 1 and 2, and as we are getting ready to close chapter 2, Paul painted these amazing pictures of God's grace and the fact that we have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Remember with me, God doesn't hold anything back from us. You know, I'm just even thankful of the simple reminder of how Calvary began. God taking a bunch of misfits and using them to build his kingdom. And so this is an amazing truth that God, when he pours out his spirit and the gospel is received, There are no limits to what he can do, and God doesn't hold anything back from us. We have everything that we need right now in the palm of your hand to know what's going to happen. We get to know God's heart. We get to know the things that he loves and the things that he hates. So we have every spiritual blessing available to us. And Paul also went on to describe the blessings of God's grace and that we have been redeemed and reconciled to God. He went on to express that it was through Jesus that all of this has happened. There is no one who can have a right relationship with God apart from Jesus. You remove Jesus out of the picture, you have no relationship with God. And so the beauty of being redeemed, being brought back to where we rightfully belong, and then having this reconciliation, we now have the ability, the open door to be right with God. Paul would go on to describe, again, the most amazing inheritance that we would receive, and that is the gift of salvation. The gift of God not only giving us a deliverance from sin, but also the final reward that we get is to be with him for all eternity. Okay, and that inheritance is a beautiful thing that nobody can take away. You know, I'm just thankful last week, you know, even though I wasn't here, God used Pastor Josh in a powerful way to deliver an amazing message. Praise the Lord. And what blessed me the most was that just for the, so that you would know, the only reason why I wasn't here was because of a family friend who passed away. And sad to say, passed away from addiction. It was a last minute thing that we made a decision and my wife and I went to California and Josh stepped in. And he did an amazing job to remind us of who our God is and the blessings that we have. And that, you know what, we may run from him, but it's just one turn and he'll be right there to meet us. And so we were blessed by that message. But again, we're blessed because of God's grace that we are no longer dead, but spiritually alive. I am so thankful that God has pulled us out of the pits that we were in. And we are no longer, again, dead, but we are spiritually alive. We've been born again, no longer children of wrath. Notice the transition from death to life, because now, for those who put their faith in Christ Jesus, you are now a child of God. And so these are beautiful blessings, and he continues to add more and more to the color of grace for us. And last, or at least a couple of weeks ago, Paul helped us to understand, because of God's grace, the beauty that we have of his unmerited favor, that we have peace with him and peace with one another. Specifically for the people that he was writing to, these Gentile believers can now have peace with Jewish believers. And so it is amazing that you look through the scriptures and it says very clearly, as Paul pointed out, Jesus is the one who abolished, who put an end to the hostility and the wall of separation from God and from one another. Jesus did that. You know, how can you, there was an amazing picture that at one of the pastors' conferences that we went to several years ago. And it was amazing because this picture demonstrated the beauty of God pouring out peace upon people who don't get along. And there was a photograph of a gentleman who was a white American who was involved with the Ku Klux Klan. And standing right next to him, hugging, was an African American. Only God can bring peace to two warring people. And so there was other pictures, you know, just because I'm Mexican, I'll just say it. There was a Mexican who was a gangbanger. And it was crazy to see that he was hugging this little granny. And it's like, what an amazing picture. And you might look at this and go, granny was the one who was ministering to that homeboy. But when you read the article, it was the other way around. It was the homeboy ministering to the grandma for her to receive Christ. And God can do that. He brings down those walls, and the purpose of it is to take the two, Jews and Gentiles, those who are non-Jewish, and create something new, a new family. This is what Paul has been describing in this new created man, the body of Christ, the family of God, the church. Listen, do you realize that when we say Calvary Chapel, we're not talking about 3922 South Pioneer Road? You realize that you are the church. Okay, so you are the one that Paul is describing as this new creation. God's plan was to bring the two together and form one body. So in God's family, there is no more wall of separation. Can we say amen? Amen. In God's church, there should not be any walls of separation either. Please understand and know that all of us in this room are still a work in progress. That work that God wants to do called sanctification is us just growing deeper in Him. And that construction project that you are will not come to an end until you see Jesus. That's for all of us. And just because you may have been walking with the Lord for some 30 plus years, I'm not going to go any further because I know there's some older saints in here. But do you still realize if you have breath in your lungs, God still wants to use you? You have value. You play a part in the body. And so I believe with all my heart, Paul's description of what's been going on in this grace, what else has God blessed us with as the church to pick up where Jesus left off? I want you to see this really clearly because it says that he came to preach to those who were far off and those who were near. It is the church's responsibility today to take that ministry of reconciliation seriously. This past conference that we went to, again, I told you, one of the strongest points that I ever heard throughout a conference was sound doctrine brings change. Distorted gospel brings division. So what was the challenge to us? Stay the course and preach God's word. Don't stray away from what we've been founded upon. And so our responsibility as a church is to continue to preach the gospel to those who are near and to those who are far. The bottom line is this, beloved, God's desire is to see everyone saved, to come to the saving knowledge of who he is. God welcomes all, he loves all, and his desire is to spend eternity with all who call upon his name. Now, that's not just my opinion. Where do we see this in the scriptures? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to the first part of verse 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Listen to this, who gave himself a ransom for all. This is what brings down the hostility and the hatred that we see in our world. It is the gospel. And so now I want to pick up in verse 19, and it says this, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, even though I read this portion of scripture, you're thinking, cool, Cracker Barrel, I'm coming early. Don't even think about it. I read this and I hope and pray that I can just get out of verse 19. And so I want you to see this because of the grace. Again, whenever we see this, therefore, we go back to what was previously said. Because of this amazing picture that Paul is developing of grace, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. What does he want us to see here? You are no longer outsiders to the commonwealth that was given to Israel. Remember with me, back in the Old Testament, God did choose the nation of Israel. But here's the thing. The nation of Israel was meant to be a light, was meant to pass on and share the goodness of God, of who their God was, to all the other nations. And I want us to see this important, because it is important that in the past, even though the mystery of the gospel has been hidden, but now God has opened up the door for all. As I just read, his desire is for all to come into the saving knowledge of who Jesus is. And not only does he want to open up this door, but notice this, God's desire is to save everybody from the penalty of sin. It is sin that God has come and sent Jesus into this world to destroy. As we were talking, even again, Pastor Matt explaining, addiction brings death. And it has all forms, but the root of it is what? Sin. It leads us down a path that none of us ever wished we would be on. And so God specifically has a desire to put an end to sin and to the destruction and to restore all things to the way it was in the beginning. I mean, I want you to think about, have you ever stopped to think about what it was like to walk with God in the garden? I mean, how amazing it must have been for Adam and Eve to, you know, wake up and, how about this? Don't have to worry about an alarm clock waking you up. You don't have to go out and work the ground, and you just had an opportunity to wake up and take a look at the garden and, oh, that's a cat. Oh, whatever, that's a dog. And, you know, just enjoy the beauty of what God created. And then all of a sudden, here comes the enemy twisting and challenging God's word, planting a seed of doubt, planting a seed in Eve's heart to want to be like God when she already had everything she needed. And yet they were deceived and sin entered. And from that point on, everything changed because of their disobedience. And I am wanting us to see this because, again, God desires to bring everything back to the way that it originally was. And I long for that day. I don't know about you. I'm tired of seeing loved ones pass. I'm tired of seeing what sin causes. I'm tired of seeing the things that are going on in this world. And even though I'm tired, where does my hope need to rest in? Jesus. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. And Paul here has been wanting these saints to know something important about God's family. Number one. And number two is this, found in this verse. In God's family and in his kingdom, there is no second-class citizens. Right? It's not like Southwest Airlines. Come on, people. Hey, I'm in the A group. Oh, you low-class B people. I mean, think about this. How many of you have flown Southwest? And if you don't want to spend the extra $25 to check in early, well, I don't even think they do that anymore. It's crazy. But the moment that you have that 24-hour mark, I mean, we've been setting our time for like 5 minutes before, and the moment it hits the exact time, and then we get C group. Like, how does that happen? Can I tell you, that's not God's family? You're not A group, B group, C group. If you are a C group, you got to put your luggage in and, you know, check it in. Listen, we have the blessing of being equal. We belong to God's family. We have the blessing of being fellow citizens along with all the other saints that have gone before us, who have passed away, and even the present saints in this room. We are all equal. Turn to your neighbor and say, we the same. We have the same position in Christ. That's what the word fellow speaks of. We are equal to all the saints. And when it comes to being a part of God's family, listen carefully. There is only one Father, and he is it. When you look at the scriptures, listen, the rest of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no other fathers. There are no other mothers. There are no aunts, no uncles, no cousins. We are just brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, regardless of what your nationality is. Listen, I've had the privilege of flying and going into different places, places where I don't even know the language. And I'm even talking about Mexico. Okay? I may be Hispanic, but forgive me, my brothers and sisters who are Latino, Mexican, whatever you want to call us. I don't speak Spanish. Okay, I'm sorry. Órale, yeah, órale. I got your number. Okay, now that we got that all out. But listen, I've never been to another country where somebody says, well, I'm a Jewish or I'm an African or I'm American or I'm an Asian Christian. Never seen that. Never heard that. When we walk into a building that is in another country, when I walk in, we don't introduce ourselves like that. What is it that we introduce ourselves as? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's nothing else. And so the beauty that I pray that you would see, what Paul is wanting all of us to see, especially, you know, in today's world, that we all belong. Come on now, we all belong to God's family. Jesus came specifically to create both Jew and Gentile to become one new man. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 tells us this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not people, but are now the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, the beauty that we have today, beloved, is to understand and know we are believers. We are children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. Now turn to your neighbor and say, deal with it. I believe today that as our world is unfolding, that God looks down from heaven and it must break his heart to see what he created being turned upside down. And the simple question that I think many people may have asked and what have been sent to me in emails in the past and even to this day is, why is our world falling apart? Why is there so much hatred? If there is a God, why is there so much bad happening in this world? Well, here's the answer, beloved. The citizens of this world have rejected the message of peace. They have rejected Jesus. They've rejected the gospel of him coming into this world and saving us from our sins. And they're allowing the things of this world to lead them down a path of destruction. Remember with me that sin not only separates us from God, but it also causes division between mankind. Sin is what feeds your rebellious nature. Sin is what feeds that selfishness that we all have. Sin, it feeds our minds and then it gives birth into thinking that one race is superior to another. You want to know why our world is the way that it is? It is because of sin. And what is going to bring an end to all of this hostility, to all this division, and to an end to sin? Listen, beloved, it's not our president, nor is it our government. It's not the protests and the riots that are happening that's going to bring peace. And I believe with all my heart, what we're seeing is a world that is screaming and desiring to have peace, but they're doing it all in the wrong way. The world right now is desperately striving to have peace, but the mistake that they are making is that they're trying to manufacture peace with substitutes. Instead of looking to God's word, let's come up with all of these laws and let's give in to all of these other ideas, and that will bring peace. And can I just tell you, if you're looking to this world to give you peace, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Because according to the Bible, peace is only found in God's word and the promises of God. And again, what is the Bible? What did Paul remind us? That Jesus is not only the source of peace, he is our peace. Jesus alone is the only one who has conquered over sin, Satan, death, and hell. It is Jesus who came to put an end to sin and to destroy this wall of separation in order for us to be united as one body. And again, he did this through the cross. This is the finished work of redemption. This is what gives us an opportunity to be a part of God's family. So not only did he come to sacrifice, but this is the amazing truth about when we have a heart that believes in Jesus in that finished work, what does it do? It opens up our eyes and our heart to see who God is, to have that peace with God. And as Paul mentioned last 2 weeks ago, we have peace with one another. I'm amazed because I think this is a solid truth. And I want you guys to hear me. When a person believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, their eyes are opened and can see that the issues that we are having in our world are not a skin issue. It's a sin issue. Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace." Let me hear that. In this world, or in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Notice what Jesus said. I have overcome this world. And Jesus said this during a night when he would share many things with his disciples. It was on the very night before he was betrayed. And it was on this night that he shared so many things that their hearts were troubled. And Jesus continued throughout this night to encourage them and to direct them, not only to tell them and be prepared for what happened this night, but to prepare them for what was ahead. God's word does that for us today. So Paul not only went on to encourage the saints about being a part of God's family, the other blessing of God's grace, notice this, you as believers in Christ are members of the household of God. I told you I was only going to stay in one verse. You thought I was kidding. So not only are we a part of God's family, but this is the other truth. This world that you live in is not your home. Okay, I thought I would have got a big amen for that. Too late. That's true. Never too late. Listen, when we think of this, where we're at right now is not our final destination. Listen, our residency is in heaven, is what Paul is saying. God's home is in heaven. And it's far greater than Bloomington. Sorry, people. It's far greater than any other Little Valley and all of the other million-dollar houses that are being built here and across. It's greater than Dubai and all of these other expensive places. Listen, how do we know heaven's real? Jesus said it. Jesus himself told his disciples again on this last night, John chapter 14. He told them very clearly, before he was betrayed and crucified, where he was going. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will also be. Jesus would leave this earth, be crucified on the cross, raised 3 days later from the grave, be seen by over several people in the next 40 days after his death and resurrection. He visibly talked with people. He physically ate with people. He was not a ghost. And before he ascended into heaven, he gave very clear instructions. He commanded his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to give people an opportunity to know Jesus the way that they did, to give people an opportunity to know God's ways. And because of this, Jesus himself revealed that heaven is a real place, that not only is it where God dwells, but listen, I want you to know this. The word heaven is found 276 times, and that's only in the New Testament. It is real. And many people may have different opinions on how to get there and what it's going to be like. But throughout the scriptures, this is what you need to know. That the word heaven is described in three different ways. In Genesis, in the very beginning of chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, the word heaven here is described as a firmament. It also can be defined as the sky. It is the place, listen, where weather happens, clouds form. Birds fly, we can visibly see it. The second heaven is what we would consider outer space, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 18, where the stars and all of the galaxies and the planets are. Listen, if you want to be in awe of God's creation and how he created the outer part of space, go rent in our bookstore for free, no charge, okay? I'm not trying to promote our bookstore. Just letting you know it's in there for free. Watch Louis Giglio's series on Indescribable. And he goes through all of the galaxies and he tells you how big they are. And he likens us to a golf ball compared to God's handiwork that he's done in all of the outer space and the galaxies and all the stars. You know, when you're in Vegas, I've lived there for 6-7 years. You don't get a chance to see the stars like you do here in Utah. But I'll tell you this, you don't even get to see the stars as clear until you're in the Philippines. They don't have no street lights. So you get to see the sky very clear. And I just know this, when you look up into the outer parts of the galaxy, man, it puts into perspective how amazing our God is. The third heaven that is talked about in the Bible is the place where God dwells. And it is interesting in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. Notice this, that the apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven, but was not allowed to reveal what he saw. Okay, why? Why not? Give us some insight, right? Help us to understand what we're looking forward to going. And yet, even though Paul was restricted, the apostle John was not. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 10. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to go through this rest of the chapter, just highlighting some things. But notice, and he carried me, speaking of John, John is the one who's writing this, the Apostle John. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Here, the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, he had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates and names written on them. which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. These gates are on the east. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. From verses 14 all the way down up to 17, it just describes the sizes and the different things that we'll see. But notice again the construction, verse 18, of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like, listen to this, clear glass. This is just a small glimpse of what we're getting of what heaven will be like. John would go on to describe all of these different precious stones that it would be decorated with. But I want you also to notice verse 22. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. What does this reveal about heaven? This is where God dwells and this is where Jesus is. Both of them are present. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to share in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is what? The light. I know we enjoy more of this time that we're in right now because it doesn't get dark until like about 9 o'clock at night. Many of us love this, but can you imagine never seeing darkness ever again? How amazing that would be. But he goes on and notice this. I want to jump to the end because of time. But notice, verse 27 here says this. Let me go to verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life, listen, will be there. This is amazing picture that John has declared to us about heaven. And so not only did he declare these things, but once again, heaven is a real place where God dwells. It is a place where God's will perfectly exists. It is a place where no more sin, no more illness, no more death, sorrow, or pain. I'm pretty sure Pastor Matt will say amen to this. No more addiction. Listen, we have this amazing ability to be in the presence of God and to enjoy this restored place that God always desired, called heaven. God desires for us to be there. And there's some other beautiful things that we see that the Bible says about heaven. Take these verses down. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 7, verse 11 to 12. And then chapter 22, verse 3. These three verses reveal heaven will be a place of worship. Okay, that didn't excite you. It excites me. I love worshiping the Lord. You know, whenever you start feeling discouraged, whenever you start feeling overwhelmed, can I encourage you? Find some good headphones. Go into a closet somewhere. Shut the door. Turn your phone on to Spotify or whatever and just pick one of your favorite worship songs and let it minister to your heart. Let it reveal to you the beauty of who God is. Let it show you how God will be faithful and help you throughout your situation. Let it be an encouragement to you that, hey, darkness only lasts for a season, but the light is coming. You see, heaven is real. It is where God dwells, and it will be a blessing for those who call upon the name of the Lord. I know as a minister of the gospel, I've had to do several memorial services, what we here in this fellowship and many others call a celebration of life. But I can honestly tell you, not all of them are a celebration. Because there are some who have passed away, who have taken their last breath here on this earth and never made a confession of faith. And for those of you who have a theology or a belief that all you need to do is be a good person, there's no such thing as a good person. The truth that the Bible reveals that we are all sinners and we are all deserving of God's wrath. How are we able to be delivered from that wrath? Because of the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. His sacrifice atoned, was pleasing to God to remove all of our sins and the sins of this world. This is how we can have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is not there, my question to you is why? Because there's nothing in this world that will ever give you peace. There's nothing in this world that could ever compare to God's amazing gift of everlasting life. Why would you settle for anything less? And it is also my prayer that you would understand, again, knowing that heaven is real, knowing that we're a part of God's family, knowing that our residency is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Beloved, as saints in Christ, we should not fear death. I think many of you remember earlier this year, many of you prayed for a family member of ours, Marisa's nephew's son. At a young age when he was born, he had a heart defect. He was blessed to be able to have a heart transplant. And I thought, once you get a heart transplant, you're good and you don't have to worry about anything ever again. But there's a time expectancy that each heart transplant can get. And it's not much time. It extends your time. But at a young age, he had surgery. And after a while, the heart that he got was doing great. But then it stopped working. He would need another transplant. But because of all the stuff that he went through, he couldn't have any more surgeries. And he was a young man. I believe he was 26. And of course, when things started getting bad, he was going to the hospital, staying there for weeks at a time, going home and then going right back. And when Maurice and I went to go visit with him, it was him along with his parents, Maurice's nephew and his wife. And we walked into the room and Maurice just started catching up with the family, and then we turned to Antonio and asked him, how are you doing with this news that there's nothing more they can do? And total transparent, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I don't know what's next. I don't want to be alone. He's like, I feel like Stitch. I don't know if you've ever saw Lilo and Stitch, but that's what he said. I don't know about the character either, but I'm just telling you what he said. And at that moment, Maurice and I knew the answer. And we were blessed and had the privilege of sharing the gospel with him to bring an ease to that fear, to let him know that he didn't have to stay there in that attitude, in that unknowing stage in his life. And what a blessing, because after we shared the gospel with him, not only did he receive Christ, but his parents received Christ. As saints in Christ, we don't have to fear death. As believers in Christ, we're going to a much better place. As believers in Christ, again, we're going to a place that God desires to restore back to its original way that he always desired it to be. And that is to be in God's presence and walk with him. Can you imagine opening your eyes after taking your last breath here on this earth and seeing Jesus? That was a week, praise God. For the one who yelled it out, praise the Lord. Do you guys realize how awesome God's grace is for all of us as undeserving? Yet while we were still sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. Because of all of these beautiful things, we have been welcomed. We belong to God's family. Not only are we a part of God's family, but God desires to create one new man that the church today would be his instrument to make him known. And I'm telling you today, this is what our world needs to hear. It is our responsibility as the church, and don't think, yeah, pastor, preach it. I'm not the only one that needs to preach it. You as the church need to share with people how good God has been. And if I could ask this, has God been good to you? Yes. Has God answered some prayers? Yes. Has God seen you through the difficulties? Yes. Has God provided for you in ways that you couldn't explain? Yes. So why not tell it? Why not give people the hope that we all need to continue to keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord so that way we won't become, like the scripture says, those who fall away? Because it is, again, it is the gospel and the gospel alone that brings down the walls of separation and removes the hostility. You want peace? Look to the cross. Yes. You want peace? Believe in what Jesus did. Because I guarantee you, once again, this world will not give you peace. It is only found in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. And I want you to see this. From the day of Pentecost, when the church was birthed, what was the message that Peter preached? It was Jesus Christ and him crucified. He gave the city of Jerusalem an opportunity to hear the gospel. Jesus wasn't preaching that day. It was 50-50 Peter. And you guys know why I call him 50-50. Because you just never know what's going to come out of his mouth. Half of it could be good and the other half could be bad. But on that day, God took an ordinary man who loved Jesus and used him to preach a message, not his own. He didn't preach another gospel. He laid out the truth. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who was crucified, who God received as a rightful payment for sins, that we now can be delivered from the enemy and delivered from the destruction that sin will bring. And on that day, the church was birthed and 3,000 souls were added. And it didn't stop. You go on through the book of Acts, and the gospel spread into Judea and Samaria, and then the gospel spread into all the earth, and we are a part of all the earth. And Jesus commanded his church, he commanded his disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples, but we're to go where? Into all nations. Because God desires to take everyone, create one new man that will bring glory to his name. That is the gospel. This is what will bring peace and hope. Jesus is not just the source. He is our peace. Amen. 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 Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. I want to thank you for your word. And again, the beautiful picture of your unmerited favor being poured out upon not just these saints in Ephesus, but for all who call upon the name of God, for all who believe in Jesus' death and his resurrection and the purpose behind him dying, will also be called a child of God, will be welcomed into God's family. And I'm so thankful that there's no more division. I'm thankful that we can see through the scriptures that this place that we live in is not our final destiny, but our reward, our blessing will be that one day Jesus will come back for his church. And when that day happens, all of us will get to be with him for all eternity. And I ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen us as a family, as the body of Christ here, that you would give us boldness to be able to share of your goodness and love to all people. I pray, God, that you would give us the ability to, again, bring hope into a dark world. I pray that you would give us the right words and the understanding of this gift called grace and present it in a way that people will be drawn to you. We know, God, it's not our words. We know that it is not us converting people. It is only you. But would you pour out your spirit upon us and give us the boldness that we need to call upon the name of Jesus and to give others an opportunity to do the same. So empower us today, Lord, as a family, to be a light and to be a witness. As everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're here today and maybe you've heard things that you've never heard before, but again, I pray that you would know it came from God's word. The scriptures and everything that we read is God's word, God's promises to any and all who would believe and call upon his name. And if this is you, if you've never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you've never understood why he had to die. And if today we answered those questions, then my challenge to you is, what are you waiting for? There's a room full of people that are right now praying for you to come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is in the same way that we all did. And all it is a prayer. It's the ability to ask God to forgive you of your sins, to believe in Jesus' finished work on the cross, and that through his death and resurrection, we could have peace with God and peace with one another, that we would be saved. And so, God loves you, and he wants you to come as you are. Don't think you have to clean yourself up. He'll do that. He just wants you to come. So if this is you, right where you're at, just slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you, to lead you in a prayer to get your heart right with God. I don't want to belabor this, but I want you to know God loves you, and he desires to want to spend eternity with you. Just slip up your hand right where you're at. Praise God, I see your hand here to my right. To the center here, I see your hand. Praise the Lord. Also in the center, I see your hand. Thank you. God is moving. God is ministering, and God is showing people the beauty of who he is. Is there any others? Don't let this moment go. One more minute. Praise God, I see your hand here to my right. Up here in the front. Praise God. Lord, as these hands are gone up, I pray that, Lord, if there's any others who may have wanted to raise their hand and yet just didn't, I want to ask that you would just continue to speak to their heart. What I want you to know is not the raising of your hand that saves you, it's your heart. And so what I want to do is I want to invite all who want to receive Christ today to repeat this prayer with me. For those of you who raised your hand, you can go ahead and put them down. But this prayer is just a prayer that you get an opportunity to be sincere with God. This is between you and God and no one else. But if you desire to receive the gift of everlasting life, repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world, that he has removed that separation from me and you. So God, I come before you and I confess that I have sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that I'm at peace with God and my sins have been forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and from this day forward, teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.